listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva, and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening to this podcast on. That way, you're the first to know when a new episode drops. Also, spend like 10 extra seconds and go ahead and rate and leave a comment. So yes, let's jump right into this. We are discussing season 3 of Stranger Things, and I'm kind of excited to talk about this. Honestly, I was like going back through the episodes because I like to link the episodes that are relevant to whatever I'm talking about. And I could have swore that I talked about Stranger Things before, and I could not find an episode about Stranger Things. So I feel like what has happened, and this happens a lot with me, is I will take notes on things and I'll be like, okay, plan out when I'm going to do the episode. And what happens is I end up not doing the episode. So that has to have been what happened with at least last season of Stranger Things. But I was like, I know. Because when I didn't see season 2, I was like, okay, I know I had to have talked about season 1 of Stranger Things. And honestly, I feel like I probably did, but you know, on the podcast app, it only lets you go back so far, and I was gonna, and then I have to like search other things. I was like, whatever. Plus, that's when the name of the podcast was different. So I'm like, whatever. Either way, whether this is my first time discussing the show or second time, I'm excited to get into this because this was actually a very exciting season just in general, especially when you look at like compared to season 1 versus season 2 versus this season. I think season 1, because it was so new and it was so different, and oh my gosh, I did talk about season 1. See, this is what happens. As I start talking about things, I'm like, wait a minute, I did talk about this, because I talked about how I initially was not going to watch this show at all, because you guys know, if you've listened for a long time and have, or if you have and you haven't really listened to every episode and you've wondered why I don't talk about horror movies or anything that falls in that genre, like scary horror, gross, I don't watch those types of things at all. I just literally cannot. So when Stranger Things first came out, it was put in that genre. I think it technically still is kind of in that genre. And so it's like, oh yeah, I'm not watching this. And I ended up watching it because my sister, I went over her place and she was watching it, and she went back. She was like on episode 3 and she went back to the first episode to force me to watch. And I was like, oh, okay, this isn't so bad. It's more sci-fi than anything. So yeah. So, and then you go into like a season 2, where season 2 we got introduced to all these new characters. There were some mixed feelings on the new characters that we got, because then we got Max and we got Billy, the sibling duo, and it was just a lot of questions into why we needed those characters, and also kind of raised some questions about how the female characters are handled on the show. But then we get into season 3, and I feel like with season 3, especially with the characters, it made up for a lot of what season 2 lacked in as far as character development. We saw Max put to use. Billy was definitely put to use because he was utilized as like our evil villain of the season. And honestly, Dak Montgomery, is that his last name? I'm always like, I don't know if I'm saying, first of all, you guys know I get names wrong anyway. But then I'm like, because if you look at how his name is spelled, it looks like Dakery. But I actually was watching an interview, just randomly watching an interview. Because you know when Stranger Things comes out and it's like all of a sudden they're everywhere on like every single platform. And so I was like watching it, and he said his name. I was like, I would have never guessed that that is how you say his name, because it definitely does not look like that. But anyway, so yeah, so Dak Montgomery, He actually, because I mean, what have I seen him in? He's been in a few other things. The only thing that's jumping out to me right now is Power Rangers. And I mean, I think I talked about Power Rangers, and Power Rangers is like okay, but it's not like groundbreaking stuff, if I'm gonna be honest. And then last season, like I said, he was just like the mean older brother, and so that he really wasn't utilized that much. But this season, they used the heck out of him, and it helped to show his range as far as what he can do and give us a little more insight into him. And the fact that he's like not just, I mean, he still is, Billy is essentially, or thinks he is, what you would say would be like the 80s heartthrob of Hawkins. But I mean, normally, like, we don't see him with the porn stash that he has and this curly mullet that he has on the show, because you know it's not the 80s, it's 2019. And so a lot of the roles that I've seen him in, he's like the cute, very cute, sexy kind of a role. And they kind of did the same thing season two, but this season we kind of, they still did that in the beginning, but then once he's overtaken by the mind flayer, then we get to see a little bit more. So I appreciate that. And then Max, like, we got, it was like, oh, we're gonna give you another girl. And then it was just like she was there. And it's kind of like she was there because Eleven was off trying to find herself all through season two. But then this season, this is the first full season where we have both Eleven and Max in the same area. And so they paired them off, had them, everyone had little missions this season as well, which I feel like they always have their own little separate missions. But the thing that I loved, I'm jumping around. The thing that I loved about the separate missions this season is that they all were connected and led to the same thing. Whereas last season, they, and this is why I feel like I talked about season two, because I did not like the whole L11 episode. That was not my favorite episode. So you guys, I'm gonna find these episodes because I feel like I've talked about both of these seasons. So I don't know why I cannot find them to link to them, but yeah. So I did not really like the whole 11 episode that we had in season two. I just thought it was just whatever. And didn't, I felt like it was a filler episode, more of a throwaway episode, and it wasn't really needed. Versus this season, a lot of the separate missions that they were on all were leading up to the same thing. So it all felt like they were all working towards a common goal, even though they didn't know they all were working on the same goal, if that makes sense. So yeah. So as far as Max this season, so this is the first time we have both Max and Eleven and Hawkins at the same time for the entirety of the season. And I just love seeing, like, we got to see Max be a friend to Eleven, because I mean, Eleven, she has for the most part been around these four or these three boys plus Will, whenever Will is not an upside down. But she's always been around these guys, so she kind of has never really had her own personality or identity. We got to see that this season with Max, you know, because even when we start the season, she's heavily wrapped up in Mike. And we're going to talk about Hopper, because Hopper has been getting a lot of flack this season as far as the direction that his character went. But we see her start off the season just completely wrapped up in Mike. And then finally, when we see them separated and she breaks up with him, we kind of get to see her come to her own and like her personality grow and her style grow and all of that. So I love seeing that on screen. I feel like Max played a huge part in that. And I also loved, I mean, I think they did a great job with a lot of the female characters this season. I just love that every female character, as far as like the young cast, were very strong female characters and strong represent and a strong representation of who their characters are. And they weren't just these sideline characters who were just kind of there or like doing whatever and letting the boys lead. Like, no, they were taking charge. And I'm talking from like L to Max to Nancy to Erica, like all of them. And even freaking what's her name? Joyce, I mean, a little bit. So yeah, so I really thought they did a great job with revamping those two characters as far as how they were handled last season. So let's talk about Hopper, because Hopper, honestly, when I watched this thing about Hopper, some of the things I was like, okay, it's a little much. Like, I feel like that's a little out of hand. And then some of it I was like, okay, I get it. Like, the whole parenting thing. And I think that because I was listening to something else. I was talking about a completely different show, but I was talking about how we as a society have been, especially more recently, heavily involved in other people's parenting styles or whatever, and how that has changed the way that people parent. And so a lot of like how I grew up and even like my parents grew up and all that, it was more of a, like the discipline was more physical versus like talking to your child and doing these like self-help, like weird things with your child to try to discipline them. And so I feel like it's kind of the same similar thing with this, even though a lot of what Hopper does this season, some of it is problematic and some of it I understand. The stuff that I understand is his want and need for, because we're talking about kids, guys. These are kids. So therefore his need to have his daughter, because Ella's is his daughter, essentially, he has adopted her. So his need for his daughter to, one, she's living under his roof. She is a minor. And therefore, if he sets rules in his house and he's saying, look, you need to have the door needs to be open 3 inches. You guys should not be in the room making out. Like, I feel like that is valid. Then we get into the whole thing of him talking to Mike, we honestly don't even really know what he said to Mike, but we are to assume that what he said was kind of threatening to the point that Mike didn't want to, he wanted to keep some space between him and 11. But my thing with this also is like, Mike was being a little brat, because even that whole scene when Hopper tried to talk to them in the room and Mike's like whispering her ear, I wish I would have had some guy in my bedroom while my father or parents, both of them, were talking to me and he's just whispering stuff in my ear and I'm laughing at it. That would not fly. So like, some of that I can see why he would get upset about that. But then there's the other thing about him being like overpowering and jealous and aggressive with Joyce, because she is still dealing with everything that happened in last season with losing her partner. And so therefore, she's like still grieving in a way, and he's kind of trying to rush her along because he's ready and this is what he wants. And so he's getting angry whenever she mentions any other guy, again, kind of like territorial and all that. So that's the part of her point. I'm like, okay, I see where he was doing too much. And even while I was watching, I was like, okay, you need to like chill out because you're coming on a bit strong here, buddy. And like, even to the point that Evan Rachel Woods has tweeted something about how he was acting on the show. And it just created this whole debate online about Hopper. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you guys, this is like, of everything that happened this season, we're just literally going to take Hopper and just like blow it up to this big thing. And a lot of people are saying like, oh, it's just a TV show. Oh, it's set in the 80s. And I mean, even though it's set in the 80s, his behavior is still wrong and problematic. But I do have to say how people functioned or reacted to how people... or let's say how people treated masculinity or toxic masculinity and those type of very strong-headed personalities in the 80s versus today, completely different. I feel like if this was set in 2019, a lot of what Hopper did would have been called out point blank period while it was happening today versus in the 80s. So I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. We're just going to leave that part at that. But yeah, let's talk about, because I'm going to talk about the pairings in a minute. But I do want to talk about the 80s everything. I literally wrote in my notes, 80s everything, because you guys know how I feel when costumes and set pieces are done right, when we are talking about things that take place in times that have happened previously. I get really excited about it. It makes me so happy. I notice it immediately when watching anything, and I mean Stranger Things has always done a good job of portraying like how the 80s changed in the time that we have been with the show. But this season, we like got to the flashy neon part of the 80s that is like the fun part. And it was in everything. It was in the clothing, the hairstyles, the makeup, Mrs. Wheeler's makeup at the pool. I was like, girl. And when she gets in the pool and she's like coming from underwater and that eyeshadow's still on, I was like, okay, what kind of makeup, eye makeup do you have on? Because I feel like in the 80s, that stuff would have ran off. So that was fun to see. We also were introduced to the Star Court Mall, which the 80s malls, like, duh. And so it was fun seeing all of those stores in there, and they looked like 80s stores, like The Gap, Orange Julius. There was a JCPenney's, like all of that. And it looked so accurate and it looked so good. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. I loved all of it. So that was like my 80s freak out moment, if you will. So let's talk about these pairings, because you guys know when I talk about shows about that revolve around like a group of kids, I'm always the one who's like, I want to see all the kids together because I think it's the most fun when they all come together. This season, I mean, we saw them all together for like a hot second. I think on the episode, what did I say? Because there were 8 episodes this season. And Strange Things has been pretty consistent as far as the episode count. So season 1 was 8 episodes. Season 2 was 9 episodes. Season 3 is 8 episodes. So I can't remember which one. Oh, it was the end of episode 6. Is that right? Or 7. End of episode 7. And I literally wrote down, finally, we're all united. So, I mean, it took us 8 or 7 episodes to see every single one of our main sides, because I don't want to call them side characters because they played pretty big roles this season. But to see all of our groups be in one room, it took us 7 episodes to get there. We don't even start off with them all together because Dustin is not even in Hawkins. He's been away at camp and he's just coming back. So, and the whole dynamic has shifted because he's been gone for a month. And so we have Lucas and we have Mike, who have pretty much been developing their relationships with their girlfriends. Then we have Will, who's kind of been on his own a little bit, even though he's kind of been included, but he's like not in a relationship. And so we have this moment where Will and Mike are arguing with each other. This is the big moment that everyone has been blogging about, tweeting about, talking about. And Will is upset because all he wants to do is play, because he can play Dungeons and Dragons with his friends and all that stuff. And Mike is like upset. He's like, it's not my fault you don't like girls. And I knew immediately when I saw that line, I was like, there's literally going to be 100 articles about this one line of this entire season. And lo and behold, what do we have? So, per usual, as I feel like has been the thing since season 1, everyone is like, is Will gay? Is Will gay? Is Will gay? Is Will gay? I think Will is gay. My thing about it is, honestly, I don't know what Will is, and I feel like if he is, then they will eventually get to it. I don't think we need to make them out him to be gay. But also, I feel like that whole line could be interpreted another way, because we have to remember, Will hasn't really been involved with the group because he's been in Upside Down season 1 the entire time. He's in Upside Down season 2. Will's back. We're going to see all 4 of them together. We kind of saw that, but then he still had the mind flayer in him. So he still wasn't really himself. And so now we see him in season 3 after going through everything that he's been going through for the first 2 seasons. And he's finally like, okay, I get to be a kid again. I missed out on being a kid for all this. And also, because I'm going to talk about this too, like a lot of time has passed clearly because they're older. We got a lot of young puppy love happening. The actors are getting older. The characters are getting older. They look older. I mean, if you look at season 1 photos and you look at them now, I'm like, oh my gosh, please don't get any older, because I literally cannot. And this goes to show you how much they have grown from season to season, because freaking Will, I was like, okay, season 2 kind of, I don't know why I feel like out of all of them, Noah Schnapp seems to have grown the most between all the kids. And I don't know if it's because he's always kind of been like away and not really as involved in the seasons as the other kids. He's always been and upside down or mind controlled or body snatched. But I was just like, oh my gosh, once you, and if you look at photos, cause he looked the smallest starting off in season one. And so now like his voice has changed. He looks old. I'm just like, oh my gosh, guys, I'm not ready for this. You guys cannot get any older, but I know it's inevitable because they're like early teens or whatever. Like, no, it's not, but I think it's like 14. So they're like in their teen years, like moving on up. And I'm just like, freaking Caleb, what is his last name? Caleb McLaughlin. He has freaking facial hair in real life. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you guys are growing too fast. So, I mean, even looking at that, like, wow, they're all growing. It's just like, he hasn't had this time to be able to fully develop and grow with his friends. And so he's missed out on a lot. And I can understand him wanting just to kind of have some of that back because he finally gets the chance to have it. So I feel like that whole you don't like girls thing could be interpreted many ways, but those are two main ways that I feel like that it can be interpreted. But then also, apparently, so when the show was pitched, Will was pitched as being gay. So I didn't know. I just found that one out. So I feel like that's also like driving a lot of the narrative for how people think that Will's character is going to play out in seasons to come, which we're going to talk about that also later. But yeah, so let's talk about these groupings. So we have Dustin. He's with I was gonna say he's with Nancy. No, he wasn't with Nancy. He was with Steve and newcomer Robin, who is actually gay. So we do get a gay character this season, guys. She pretty much comes out to Steve towards the end of the season after he's pretty much like has finally been like, oh my gosh, you're awesome, I want to be with you. And she's like, no, I don't like your type. Pretty much. But yeah, so we have them together. You guys, and like Dustin and Steve, I feel like has been an interesting friendship that has developed over the seasons. We got to see a lot of that development in season two. But to see like it even more so grow, and just to see Dustin become more of a leader, because Dustin has always been an interesting character. One of the more interesting characters, I think, of the group of kids. And just to see him come into that and just be like even more confident in who he is and his ability to do things, just like, it's so good. I really love all these kids are so good, you guys, they really are. But yeah, so that was a grouping, and their whole mission is that while Dustin has overheard, he's trying to get in touch with Susie, his girlfriend from camp, and he overhears some Russian messaging. And so their whole thing is they're trying to dissect it, which leads them to discovering a Russian base deep down under Starcourt Mall. And also this also leads to them recruiting Erica, who also was a breakout in season two. And so they had announced that she going to season three, she's going to become a regular. And so she got switched to a regular, and then we got to see how that manifested, and they did a really good job with her. She wasn't just a sassy little sister of Lucas. She was like a smart, sassy, black, nerdy, like all that stuff wrapped into one. And I loved every minute of it. I honestly, like, you guys know it's hard to make me laugh, and that little girl makes me laugh. So and that also leads to them recruiting her because she's the smallest one who can fit in the vent. And so we have those four who are a group, and they're all trying to figure out what's going on with the Russians and why they are in Hawkins. Then we have Nancy and Steve, who are working at the local newspaper, and they come across a story that has to do with rats. And so they're investigating that. And also we also have this whole side plot with Nancy feeling like she can do more at the newspaper, and like very chauvinistic got men at the newspaper who are just saying disgusting things to her. I was just like, oh my gosh, seriously, guys, seriously. I feel like they're a little heavy handed with it, but it still was like, okay, whatever. But then also I was like, I kind of had agreed with Jonathan. Did I say Nancy and Steve at the newspaper? I should have said Nancy and Jonathan. I can't remember. But with Jonathan, when they end up getting fired, and I'm just like, when he's like, we were interns, I was like, seriously, you were an intern and you were acting like this. So that whole storyline just, it was a little bit it was a little bit much. But again, their whole, all these stories are eventually leading up into the same thing. So their whole thing is they're investigating the diseased, crazed rats of Hawkins. And then we have Max and Elle. They are trying to find out what has happened to this lifeguard who has gone missing. And so they also, because what do I call it? I call it mind Skyping. That's my phrase for it when Eleven like puts her blindfolds on and tries to find out where people are. And I'm like, I just call it mind Skyping because I don't know what else to call it. And so when they mind Skype Billy, this leads to, and she sees some weird things. So this leads to them trying to figure out what's going on with Billy. And then they end up finding out that this lifeguard is missing. And so that's their whole storyline. So they're trying to figure that out. And then we have Hopper and we have Joyce. And their whole thing is so... essentially it ties into the mayor and what's going on with all the properties being bought up. And so then they find out who, after Hopper gets his behind kicked by this random Russian, they find out that the Russians have been trying to buy everything. And so they end up kidnapping the Russian doctor and they take him to Illinois, because Hawkins is in Indiana. In Indiana, mind you, I'm from Illinois and I've been to Indiana multiple times, so I can say Indiana. Hawkins is in Indiana, so they go into Illinois to go and visit Hopper's friend from last season, who is essentially the only person that he knows who would be able to translate Russian. So, like, we have all who am I missing? Oh, we have Lucas, Will, and we have Mike. And their whole thing is that they've essentially been pretty much stewing over what's going on with their relationship. So the girls have been doing all the heavy lifting. And so then finally they all reconnect. So Mike, Will, I was about to go in the song. This shows how randomly my mind like goes to different things. But Mike, Will, Lucas, Max, and Elle all end up together, essentially trying to investigate what is going on with Billy. And so then that leads to our sauna episode where they trap him in a sauna. And that's how they find out that the Mind Flayer has his body. But then essentially the Mind Flayer, who has always been the shadow in previous seasons, we finally get to see him in all his disgusting glory and see that he is essentially using his body parts. I guess I'm trying to think of another word to say for it, but essentially using his body parts to inhabit the people of Hawkins and use them as hosts to do his bidding, which is essentially his whole thing is that they need to kill Eleven, because essentially Eleven is the only one who can defeat him, because he remembers her from last season shutting the gate on him. And so he is very adamant about it. And so that leads towards the end where we see this whole, they're trying to protect Elle and try to get her out of his clutches, but it ends up to her getting bit by whatever comes out of his mouth. And a disgusting part where they have to like get it out of her leg, but essentially Elle ends up losing her powers. So a lot of stuff happens. You guys watch it so you know what happened. Elle loses her powers. We end up losing Hopper, so we think in the end when, because now by this time everyone's together, so in the end when Joyce ends up blowing up the Russian thingamajabob, what I don't know what their machine is called, and their whole radius of the blast essentially kills anyone, or they disappear. We don't really know what happens. We just know that it essentially looks like they're turned to nothingness and they're dead and gone. And so that happens to Hopper. And so Elle doesn't have power. So we end the season with her not having power. So also end the season with the Byers being like, you know what? Joyce is like, this is too much. I'm done. So they all leave and they move from Hawkins and they take Elle with them. So Elle is essentially adopted into the family. What else? I think that's pretty much... those were the major goodbyes. So the last part of it was just like a lot of tears and crying because the buyers are leaving. And so that's like half of our main group of kids who are now no longer in Hawkins. But then we also get an end credit scene and we're in Russia, and apparently the Russians have a Demogorgon. Oh my gosh, say that 20 times. They have a demigod, or oh, I cannot say that word. Either way, they have one of those, and we hear them referencing the Americans. So this is making people think that maybe Hopper is not dead. And so then you know me, because you know, as much as I say sci-fi is not my favorite, a lot of what I watch is sci-fi. Even though there may be some action in there, it's still essentially sci-fi at the end of the day. And so that made me think, and I was just like, so is it possible that when the blast happened, it doesn't necessarily kill people, it like teleports them somewhere else? Is that possible? Because I'm assuming from the first episode when they were trying to open the door in Russia, like that is where possibly Hopper could have got teleported to, because he's like in the custody of, it is him, he's in the custody of the Russians. So questions there. Also, if we are to have more seasons and the Upside Down just seems to not want to stay upside down, that means we're going to need someone with powers. And if Elle does not have her powers, it's like, how do they even win? Honestly, how do they win? Because for the most part, it's literally Eleven doing all the heavy lifting. Everyone else just kind of on the sides, like acting like they're doing something, but they're really not. So like, she needs her powers. So I'm assuming that in a possible season 4, that we would see her somehow, some way regain her powers. I am guessing maybe that the bite that she got when that thing got into her system, like absorbed her powers or like dampened her powers in some way. And so like she needs to get it all out of her system. I don't know. Because when we ended the season, or when we jump to the movie, they said 3 months later. So then it's like, how long does it need for her body to recalibrate and her powers to come back? I don't know. But I just feel like there's no way that they can move forward without some type of empowered person. So, yeah. What else did I want to say? I talked about the representation of the girls. I talked about the 80s everything. I talked about Erica. I talked about Elle's powers. Oh, so yeah, so let's talk about the future, because I talked about Hopper and I talked about the buyers. So let's talk about the future. What does the future look like? So this is season 3. And honestly, it wasn't a bad season, because according to Netflix, and these numbers are not solid because this was reported yesterday, so this could have changed. But according to Netflix, Stranger Things has broken records and as far as streaming is concerned, and in this, the 4 days since the episode or since the season dropped, which it dropped on July 4th, it has had a little over 40 million households have watched the show, and a little over 18 million households have completed the season. So that's a lot of people. And if you think about like network TV, those are numbers that they dream and salivate over. And so that's why I'm like, that's why I always talk about how things are shifting in TV and more so towards streaming and more, not even just stream, but delayed viewing. So that's why I feel like you can't really necessarily count on that live number of people watching, because a lot of people watch it later. So I don't know. That's just me. That's not what we're talking about. But yeah, so those are some heavy numbers. And I mean, that's, I think, well, not I think, because I said it broke records. So that's the most watched series show or season of a show on Netflix, or of an original Netflix show ever. So those are good numbers. So what does that mean for the future? Do we have a season 4? How long do we do this show for? Is this show sustainable as a multiple season show anyway? You guys already know my answer is going to be, I don't think it is. I don't think much is sustainable for a huge number of seasons anyway. But this is definitely a show where I don't think it is either. And honestly, I'm surprised that they've been able, being that the Upside Down and the Mind Flayer has always been a central part of the show for 3 seasons, and they've still been able to make it seem fresh and new, and it doesn't seem like we're repeating things. I can only be like, hand clap to you, because a lot of shows don't do that, and you kind of see them fall into these tropes where it's like, this seems familiar, this doesn't seem like anything new, it seems like something I've seen before from this show. So I have to give them kudos for that. But as of now, we do not have an official renewal for a season 4. Originally, the Duffer Brothers said, and this was like in 2017, that the show would only be maybe possibly 4 seasons. They couldn't see it going past that. Now, recently, they have said that they could possibly see it being 5 seasons, but it definitely would not go past that. Now, if they come back 2 years later and are like, okay, maybe we could possibly do season 6, I'll be like, okay, you know what? We're done. We are officially done. But I think for me, as long as they can keep the story fresh and exciting and it not seem like the same old thing, then I think 4 seasons, possibly 5 seasons, I think that's a good amount of time, especially when you look at how long the seasons are, because they're only 8 episodes. Now, even it being 8 episodes, I feel like you could still fall into the trap of there being a lot of filler, because, and I feel like it's hard to get on. I mean, you can, but I think it's apparent across majority of the Netflix shows that I have watched, and a majority of streaming shows that where they drop all the episodes at once, I feel like a lot of them start off slow, to the point where maybe the first 3 episodes could have been 2 episodes, maybe even 1 episode. And so Stranger Things is not a show that gets away with that either. They do end up having a slow start, even though I enjoyed how the show started, because I love seeing where the kids were now that we've come back, how they've grown, seeing how their relationships are with each other. I enjoy seeing all that, but I feel like I only needed 1 episode of that. And so we don't really, really, really get into the nitty gritty until, I think that's episode 4, the sauna episode. Yeah, the sauna test. So I mean, there's that, but I feel like if they continue to not go past the 8 episode mark, I feel like they can totally give us 2 more seasons and then be done for good. They don't need to do 9 episodes because, like I said, season 2, it was 9 episodes, and the L episode, the solo 11 episode, I was like, we did not need this at all. But that's just my opinion. Maybe you felt differently. But yeah, I mean, overall, I really enjoyed this season. I think I would rank this one as number 2 behind season 1. Because I think season 1 was just a really good first season introduction to a show. But definitely this comes in after season 1. And then season 2 would just be number 3. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about Stranger Things. I want to know what you guys thought about this season. What surprised you? Which groupings or pairings did you enjoy seeing the most this season? Who was your favorite character this season? And what do you want to see in a possible season 4? Where do we go from here? Let me know all that. You can let me know by commenting on Instagram posts related to this episode, or you can tweet me. All that works just fine. But I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram @currentlybinging and on Twitter @currentbinge.